They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Some of you recognize this couple. Some of you do not. You boys got my stool. This is Dave and Minnie Dukes, fondly known as Mom and Pop Dukes. This is Nelda's mother and father-in-law. This is Becky, Beverly, and Garland, Bob, Clyde Jr., and Adeline's grandparents. And if I went on naming, they'd be great-grandparents. And then if I went on down the line, it'd be great-great-grandparents. Mom Dukes died north of the Sweetwater Bridge approximately 50 years ago in a wreck. She invented butter roll, had fried pies that you would not believe. When she saw you, she was tickled to death to see you. Now, Pop had a mischievous little smile that looks just like Beverage, and a twinkle in his eyes. One of the first times that I give a lesson, I went to the back of the building, and I went up there, and he says, "That wasn't too good." I melted. Then here came the smile, and he said, "But they never get too good." Red and Joe are their sons, along with Curtis's dad, Rayburn Hall. The congregation in Allison began to flourish. In the 1950s, they went to church and a creamery in Allison. I didn't know there was a creamery there. Later, there was a wooden church building. Later, there was a cinder block building that some of you remember. We had windows that we cranked open for the air conditioning. In the 1980s, we put wood across there and paneling. We got brick from Bonnie Doty's uncle, Claude, and it was bricked. Later than that, we ended up in Wheeler. They have been a great influence on me and you, whether you knew it or not, because of their children and their grandchildren. So our title is Influence. In 50 years, will somebody be talking about you and what you've said or done? What is your influence? Think about this. What you do, where people see you going and coming from, what you say. Do you hurt people's feelings? Do you make them feel better? What's your language like? What you wear? I won't get off track too far here. You know, fashion tells us that the more skin you show, you're fashionable. Or maybe how tight it is. One of these days, I'm going to lose it and go up to one of the guys and say, "Can I give you a pull-up? Because your pants are going to trip them." Now, that's fashionable. You know, and sometimes Facebook betrays some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they show them in a place that Christians oughtn't to be. You know, that is influential, where you go. What about where you go when the service is going on? Are you at sporting events? Are you fishing? Or what are you doing instead of being at church? And also, people watch what you do in the services. Do you help? Do you lead songs? Will you lead a prayer? Will you help with communion? Are you one of these? No. Well, who cares? Your children do. They watch. Your grandchildren watch. The community watches. I bet most of Wheeler knows where you go to church. And the church watches. Let me tell you something. In 50 years, some of your leadership's not going to be here. There better be new leadership. Step up. You know, one of the things that we talk about from time to time is to give the young the job before they have the title. Before they have the title of deacon, elder, or whatever. Give them the job. See if they can do the work. So, yes, the church watches what you do. What if you say, I don't have influence? We know you do. In Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You know, Sean was younger once, and he would go with Merle to different places. Merle's light rubbed off on Sean. It might take us a month after he get home, and he wouldn't go, yee, or say some Merle-isms that Merle used. So your light shines on others. Let's look at a few examples. In John 8:6, this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Before this, they had brought a woman unto Jesus that was caught in the very act of adultery. Under the law of Moses, they should have taken her outside the city and stoned her. But Jesus stooped down. And he came back with this saying that I've thought about a lot of times. Let him without sin first cast a stone at her. What better good example can I give you than Jesus Christ to pattern herself after? Over in Acts 9, we have another example, starting with verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. I'm going to stop here. Alms deeds is the act of showing compassion, especially to the poor. So she done good works and especially good things for the poor. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. So here's the woman that done good things and she died. Then going to verse 40. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And when she opened her eyes and when she saw Peter, she sat up. This woman did good things, and here one of the apostles came and raised her from the dead. If you do good things, you'll be raised from the dead. I promise. It's going to happen. If you don't do good things and do bad things, you're going to be raised from the dead. I promise it's going to happen. Because it's all, we are all appointed to die and then face the resurrection. So it's going to happen. What about some bad examples? We got a couple of them. In 1 Kings 13 and verse 17, "For it was said unto me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread or drink no water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him." The young prophet had went into Bethel to cry against Jeroboam, and the old prophet heard about it. The old prophet goes to the young prophet and lies to him and says, hey, you're supposed to come on with me. The angel of God told me to do that. He did. He went home with the old prophet, and he ate and he drank. As he left, he was killed by a lion. I always kind of really thought that the old prophet ought to be killed by the lion. But it didn't happen that way. And I felt sorry for the young prophet. But we forget the word of the Lord had told him not to eat bread, not to drink water, and to go home a different way. So he disobeyed God, the young prophet, and he died for them actions. This is a bad example. I got another one. Luke 22 and verse 47. "And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" You know the story. For 30 pieces of silver, Judas betrayed our Lord and Savior. Think about Judas's influence. How many parents are going to name their child Judas? I don't know any. And this is years and years ago. We don't see many Judases, do we? Who wants to name their child after a traitor that betrayed our Lord and Savior? Nobody. Now then, we're going to talk about your influence. Now sometimes I'll catch myself while someone's speaking. I'm thinking, boy, I hope old Fred's listening. He needs this. Okay, don't go there. We're thinking about you. This is a process of self-examination. In John 14 and 11, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Do you come across to those about you as someone that loves them, that loves to see them when they show up at church? I hope we come across as a congregation that's loving, rather than come in and maybe nothing is said to them. Do you come across that way? So think about that. That's one item. Philippians 4 and 8 is our next one. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." I should have, but I didn't go around today while people was eating and talking and eavesdrop to see what she was talking about. Because what's on our mind is usually what we're talking about, right? Now, if we're thinking on these things, we should be speaking and thinking about things concerning righteousness, salvation, serving the Lord, helping those of us as Christians become stronger, shouldn't it? What's on our mind should be showing in us to others. Next thought. I don't like these, this speech part. How influential is your speech? Colossians 4 and 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Too many times I put my mouth in gear before my brain. Too many times it's not seasoned with salt. Several times in the last few days, Becky had said, hey, you're the deaf one, not me. I was getting too loud. You know, our body language can help with this too. You know, people come into church and we say, good to see you. Or you can run and hug them, good to see you. There's a difference. So how is your speech? How is your influence of speech? In James 3 and 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Similitude is the likeness of God. Think about Peter when he denied the Lord. How did he prove to those that he wasn't a Christian? He cursed and swore. So when we do that, when we curse and swear, we're proving to God we're not a Christian. We got to guard against the tongue. The tongue is an unruly evil. We know that. We have to bridle it. We have to stay on top of it because it influences others. In James 2, another thought. What did the prophet, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what did it profit? You know, I catch myself saying, okay, I'm going to get conned again. I catch myself, get a job. I catch myself, do something for yourself. Are we hospitable? What does the community think about our influence? Let me tell you something negative. I run into a leader of a congregation in here in Wheeler. He said, you know, I got a call not too long ago, and this frequent flyer, panhandler, whatever you want to call him, had called that church and said that we, our congregation, was having hard times. We could not help. He said, I knew that wasn't right. So that part of our influence is doing good. We need to help those that are needy because that's what Christians do. All right, our next thought, Acts 8 and 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. A very familiar passage. My question to you is, do people come to you with Bible questions? Do they come to you for guidance? Is that part of your influence? Are you comfortable if they did come to you? Let's go a little further. Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Are you comfortable helping someone obey the gospel? If not, why not? We can get together and study, and you could become comfortable. Because of your influence, someone may ask you a question. They may not be comfortable visiting with someone else. You need to be able to teach others. That's what Christians do. All right, one more thought for you. Joshua 24 and 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but for me and my house we will serve the Lord. A lot of us will have a sign that said this, for me and my house we will serve the Lord. I think the community and those around you should know that you serve the Lord. I think that should show. So that's some questions I needed to ask you about our influence. Now next, for a couple of verses, we need to make the most of our influence. How many opportunities have you let pass by because you didn't act on it? Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our influence should be able to prove what's good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. You know, not long ago, we spoke a little bit about the sinner's prayer and what's being taught. Here's what you do to be saved. Well, that was wrong. What people are teaching is wrong. It's contrary to the Bible. We must be able to prove what's good and acceptable. It's going to take some effort on your part to learn, be able to prove what's good and acceptable. 1 Peter 2 and 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We can wear a shirt or we can wear a pen that says Church of Christ on it, but they need to see our good works. They need to see us doing good things. They need to see us at the hospital visiting. They need to see us in the community helping someone. They need to see us doing the good works. That's the influence that we need to have. Does your influence help or hinder? I'm going to tell you a Pat Manning story. Y'all probably have heard it. Pat, in one of his sermons, talks about a fellow he knew that lived very unrighteously. And then he finally got his act together, but said he did go every week to the cemetery where his two sons was buried to cry. Because of his influence, the sons did not grow up properly. They got involved in things. They died early. And said that guy just grieved and grieved over that influence. So we have to watch whether we're helping or hindering with our influence. Ephesians 2 and 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. As Christians, we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We are lacking nothing to have that good influence. 2 Peter 2 and 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. This is what I call a hypocrite. You can invite someone to church and they'll think, well, you goody two shoes. I know what you do. Several years ago, I was at Sam's in Amarillo, and a lady from a church here in Wheeler was walking out with enough beer to open a saloon, I guess. And I thought that was kind of odd. Now then, you don't have to go to Sam's. You can get it right here in Wheeler, can't you? But that surprised me that someone like that was that big in that particular church was doing that. So we have to watch our influence. When your influence hinders the church, hinders yourself, it hinders the church. Someone will say, why in the world do I want to go to church with them? I see old Brother Fred out here doing all of this kind of stuff. Your actions show. Your influence can be repaired. My influence is not too good at times. My influence has been bad to the church at times. Think about Saul. Acts 8 and 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Last part of Acts 7, he was watching as Stephen was stoned. Saul did bad things. Think about his influence. Acts 9 and 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Ananias was told by the Lord, go teach this Saul because he's praying. He's blind and he's praying. And I said, no way. I know what he's done. Ananias did go. In verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. What a change. Here was Saul consenting to the death of Christians, and now he is preaching that Christ is the Son of God. I'm sure there's others that when they saw Saul, they said, oh no, he's just putting on a front. But through the years, we know that Paul wrote a lot of the Bible. Paul changed his influence by serving God. The power of God will do that. Long-lasting effects. Hebrews 11 and 4. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it him being dead yet speaketh. Influence lasts a long time. I counted up. In this congregation, and I've got the names, but I'm not going to read them, we have approximately 41 that have direct influence here. I'm taking in children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and spouses. Now, that's a long-lasting influence, right? So watch your influence and what it can do others. Here's the last slide. What is your influence? Let me make some summations. If you have not obeyed the gospel and been baptized, I will be blunt. Your influence is bad. completely wrong. You're influencing those about you in the wrong ways. If you have obeyed the gospel and been baptized, and you're not living right, you're influencing those about you. You're leading them in the wrong direction, as probably a lot of us has had. Let's repair it. Let's get it going right. If you're not able to teach others, help others, let us help you. Let's study together.